Hey, early risers, thanks for getting up early to worship with us. So glad you're here this weekend. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. I also want to add a happy Mother's Day to all of those who are mothers here. You know, would you agree with the statement that for the most part, I think most Americans are kind of obsessed with watching reality TV shows? Would you agree with that? We're sort of obsessed, aren't we? And a lot of these reality TV shows, they have to do with winning some kind of a contest, right? We have shows like American Idol, America's Got Talent, The Amazing Race, The Voice, Top Chef, the show that Pastor Tim continually tries out for and gets turned down, Dancing with the Stars. Pray for Pastor Tim. But these shows are all kind of sort of survival-based, right? And you might know the show that started all of this was called, does anybody know? Survivor. Say it out loud. Survivor, yeah. And as most of you know, to win these sort of contests, you kind of have to outwit, outplay, or outlast your fellow contestants. Depending on the show, it's a battle of willpower. It's a test of endurance. Oftentimes, it's sort of a fight to the finish. And those who participate in these contests, sometimes they have to sacrifice sleep, convenience, friendship at times, and they have to face many hardships in order to win. I mean, these kind of contests are not for the weak or the faint of heart. So let me ask you this. What is the name of the oldest, longest-running reality-based survival contest in America? You know what it's called? It's called Motherhood. Motherhood. And this weekend, I want to speak to the moms. And I want to speak to the moms about surviving motherhood. And I want to share with you sort of some survival strategies that will help you to win as a mother. But these things that I share with you today, I think will not only help you survive as a mother, but I think they'll help you to thrive as a mother. So look at number two in your outline. Things to know in order to survive and thrive as a mom. The first thing you need to know, moms, is that you are deeply loved by God. Deeply loved by God. Now I know Mother's Day for many of you is a great day. Some of you are happily married, you have children, you love your children, they love you back, you have a great relationship, maybe your mother is alive and you get along great with her. I mean, for some of you, Mother's Day is a great day. And if that's you, I am so, so happy for you. But I also know that for a lot of other people, Mother's Day is a very difficult day. See, for some of you, you don't have children because you're not married, and you would like to be married, and therefore Mother's Day is a painful reminder of your marital status. Others of you here are married, and yet you don't have children. And some of you don't have children because you've chosen not to have children, which is fine. But others of you haven't been able to have children, and that's not fine. And Mother's Day is a painful reminder of that. And then some of you here today, you're in a very difficult marriage. And so that makes Mother's Day very hard. Or perhaps you're a stepmother and it's so hard to help raise your stepkids. Or maybe you're a single mom and it gets really lonely for you on Mother's Day. Some of you have children who have gone astray and that makes Mother's Day hard. Some of you have lost your mom. And so when Mother's Day rolls around, it reminds you of that loss and you have this big hole in your heart. See, the truth is, look at number one, for a lot of people, Mother's Day is a very difficult day. And my prayer is that God would be with you in a very special way today. Now, regardless of where you are in, quote, motherland, regardless of your particular life situation, every mom has difficult days. You know, I've done some reading on being a mom for this message, And everything I read, being a mom is not easy. Any moms attest to that? Being a mom is not easy. There are days as a mom where you feel like you've blown it. You feel like you've sort of stepped over the edge and you made a terrible decision, and because of that you feel regret. Other days you feel like a total failure. There are times as a mom where you feel very lonely. And I want you to know that when those times come, and by the way, they will come for every mom, I want you to remember the truth that you are deeply loved by God. See, when you feel unlovable, when you feel like no one loves you, remember, God will never stop loving you. In fact, look at the way God says it in Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. Moms, there's nothing you can do that will ever shake God's love off of you. When you feel unforgivable, when you feel like you've done something that nobody could forgive, remember that God's love and mercy never ceases. It never ceases. I love the way the Apostle Paul says it in Romans 8. He says, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to get this. You are deeply loved by God. Now, every one of us are deeply loved by God, not just moms. But for moms, that's one of the things that will help you get through those difficult days in motherland. Second thing you need to know if you want to survive and thrive as a mom, letter B, is you need to know that you are appreciated. You are. Over the last month or so, I've been thinking about this message, and I've been thinking about the question, what do moms really need? What do they need to hear on Mother's Day? And I've read some things that moms have said about that. One mom said this. She said, you know what really means a lot to me? When someone says to me, who really knows me, you are a really good mom. She says, I can coast on that for months. Another young mom said this, I just wish my children would appreciate all that I do for them. When she was asked, how old are your kids? She said, 3 and 6. Probably a little unrealistic, right? But the truth is, we all want to be appreciated, don't we? We all need to be appreciated. We all have to be appreciated in order to survive emotionally. That's just the way that God made us. He wired us that way. In fact, look at the Bible says in Proverbs 12, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down. But a good word, underline good word, but a good word makes it glad. A good word makes hearts glad. Because appreciation gives us staying power. Mark Twain said this, I can live off of one good compliment for a week. You know, we're just made that way. Now, according to Webster's dictionary, appreciation is defined this way, an expression of admiration, approval, or gratitude. And yet, many moms wonder every day, does my family appreciate me? So husbands, kids, one of the greatest gifts that you can give your mom, or the mother of your children, or your wife, is a gift of sincere, genuine, continual appreciation. You know why? Because appreciation is the emotional fuel that is essential for their journey through motherland. I mean, regular fuelings of encouragement, affirmation, and appreciation sustain them in their role as a mom and in their role as a woman. I want to have you look at this video, and hopefully it will encourage you.
What do you love the most about your mom?
My favorite when they give me a kiss.
She gives me hugs.
Play with mom.
Play dumbbells.
Playing with them. David and Goliath.
And she gives me a lot of candy and she plays with me a lot of times.
I like how they like do special things like get fun breakfast sometimes.
I tell her, I love you, and then she says, I love you too.
And I wash the soap.
And my birthday, my mom and dad gave me a broccoli cake, but it was actually strawberry.
What's your favorite thing to do with your mom?
We play trains.
Do I play Fortnite?
I like to do some fishes, bees.
I play Jesus with mom.
What does mom always tell you to do?
Don't you time out. Get off the tablet.
Clean up mess.
Clean up your mess.
To clean up.
I don't make a mess. I just put them back.
Clean up your room.
They just say it nicely, not so rude.
Yeah, it's funny. I know. It's funny.
What do you want to tell your mom today?
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom and Dad.
I love you, Mom.
For you.
I love you, Mom.
Love you.
I love you, Mom and Dad.
I love you, Mom and Dad.
Obviously, I wish we could have had, every child, Vineyard North Phoenix child in that video, but I want to finish up this part about appreciating moms with a tribute to moms that I came across in Angela Guffey's book, A Tender Mercy for a Mother's Soul. A Tender Mercy for a Mother's Soul. It's a wonderful description of all the things that you do, moms, for your families. And I can't think of a better way to give a tribute to moms here than just read what she wrote as a tribute to you. And let this be on behalf of all the dads and all the kids who are here to you moms. She writes this. This is for all the mothers who froze their bottoms off on metal bleachers at soccer games on Friday nights instead of watching them from cars so that when their kids asked them, did you see my goal? They could say, of course, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world and really mean it. This is for all the mothers who sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up chunks of wieners and cherry soda that suddenly reappeared, saying, it's okay, honey. Mommy's here. This is for the mothers who gave birth to babies they will never see, and the mothers who took those babies and made homes for them. This is for the mothers of victims of school shootings and the mothers of the murderers, for the mothers of the survivors and the mothers who sat in front of their TVs in horror, hugging their children who just came home from school safely. This is for the mothers who run carpools and make cookies and sew Halloween costumes, and for all the mothers who don't. This is for reading Goodnight Moon twice a night for a year, and then reading it again, just one more time, Mom. This is for all the mothers who taught their daughters to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and for all the mothers who opted for Velcro instead. And this is for all the mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair, mouth stains on their blouses, and diapers in their purses. Moms, we appreciate you. And in just a moment, I want to ask all the moms to stand. Young moms, grandmothers, stepmothers, single moms, spiritual moms, adoptive moms, expectant moms, and if there's any other mom that I left out, I want you to stand as well. So all the moms, would you please stand and remain standing for a moment? Right now, stand up. Yes, let's give it up for the moms. Now remain standing, moms. Remain standing. Because I want the dads, the husbands, the kids, in just a moment, we're going to affirm these moms and we're going to express our appreciation for these moms with full voice as if the miracle happened that the Arizona Cardinals won the Super Bowl. I want you to yell that loud. So on the count of three, in full voice, we're going to say, yay, Mom, three times in a row. All right? So one, two, three. Yay, Mom! Yay, Mom! Yay, Mom! One more time for the moms. Moms, we love you. We appreciate you. We don't say it often enough. We don't say it well enough, but we do love and appreciate you. Thank you, moms. All right, the third thing to know in order to survive and thrive as a mom, letter C, moms, you don't need to try and be super mom. And by the way, you know what a super mom is? A super mom is a woman who has a full-time job outside the home, attends all of her children's activities, is a fabulous cook, a great housekeeper, always looks great, never misses a church service, and is a great lover. And we call these kinds of moms non-existent. That's the word. That reminds me of the mother who came to a counselor. She was stressed out, exhausted, irritated, worn out. She said to the counselor, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm always tired. I'm always irritable. I'm always stressed out. I'm angry. What's wrong with me? And so after sharing with the counselor for an hour, at the end, the counselor said, let me see if I get this straight. You give 50% of your time and your energy to your husband, 50% of your time and your energy to your kids, and 50% of your time and your energy to your job. I think I see the problem, he said. And I think we probably have a few moms here like that. But the truth is, there is a huge tug of war going on in the hearts and minds moms across America today, trying to figure out what is the right role for a mom to play. What is the right role? What's right? What's wrong? And sort of at the heart of this tug of war is, should I be a stay-at-home kind of mom, or should I be a working outside the home kind of mom? Now, I want to be very clear about this. If you are a stay-at-home kind of mom, you are a working mom. You are. In fact, I love the Mother's Day card that gave the definition of motherhood as a noun. It said this, motherhood, an activity that offers all the delights of running a hotel, a restaurant, a school, and a taxi service with none of the worry or bother of having to collect or spend a salary or income. That's how a lot of moms, I suppose, are as well. A lot of you here. The truth is, motherhood is a full-time job, and it is very difficult. In fact, one mom said this, if motherhood was going to be easy, it would have never started with something called labor. And yet there's never been more women, moms, working outside the home than there are today. And with that comes this huge internal struggle. Most moms struggle with the balance of time and priorities. Most moms also struggle with guilt. They have guilt for leaving their children to go to work, and then they feel guilty if they leave their work to go home and be with their kids. There are lots of moms who wish they didn't have to work, and there are a lot of moms that wish they could go to work. I mean, this is a very complicated issue. One family therapist said this, show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt, and I'll show you a man. That is so true. Now, I'm not an expert on this by any means, but I have learned a few things by pastoring all these years. And I can tell you this about the Bible. The Bible does not prescribe a one-size-fits-all for moms. There's no single ideal model for mothers that's given in the Bible. In the Bible, there are all kinds of different moms. The Bible does not condemn stay-at-home moms, and the Bible does not condemn work outside the home moms. And therefore, church, we shouldn't either. We should not either. And I've also learned another secret. You know, all those so-called supermoms that you meet at the grocery store, or maybe one lives next door to you, or you meet them at work, or, you know, whatever. Here's the secret about them. They are not a supermom. Because supermoms do not exist. And the problem with trying to be a supermom is that it's not realistic. And it's not possible. And it's not healthy. Now, obviously, I'm not a mom. And so I can't speak fully to this from a mom's perspective. But I do appreciate what I read in a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Motherhood. I appreciate what the author shared. And I think it sort of summarizes this whole issue of balance. And she concluded with these thoughts. She said this: nothing is wrong with you if you are overwhelmed and temporarily disillusioned by motherhood. Motherhood is as hard as it is wonderful. Most women don't have it all. They have a lot, but at different times. Motherhood does interfere with or put on hold your individual goals and pursuits. A good mother is a woman who's happy with her own place in life. And that only reinforces, she says, what every husband has known for centuries: if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know, the Bible says it this way in Proverbs 3. Moms, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And by the way, in the original language, acknowledge him means put him first. Moms, in all your ways, put him first, acknowledge him, and he will make, underline these two words, your paths straight. See, when you put God first in your life, he will make your paths straight as a mom. Not being like some other mom, not trying to be like some other super mom that you have this idealized view of. God will make your paths straight. See, God just wants you to be the mom that he created you to be. Don't try to be like any other mom. Just be you. The pressure's off. Now, the fourth thing to know if you want to survive and thrive as a mom is that there is an ultimate reward of motherhood. And you need to focus on that. You know, for these reality TV shows like Survivor, what's the ultimate reward of a winner of that? I don't know. I don't keep up with it. Maybe $1 million. I don't know what they give away. Maybe fame and fortune. But you know what the ultimate reward for a surviving, thriving mom is? It's to make a huge difference in the life of their children. That is the ultimate reward. Like Proverbs 22:6 says, most of you have it memorized, train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, moms, 100 years from now, it's not going to matter to you what kind of house you lived in. It's not going to matter to you what your bank account had in it or how many possessions you had. That's not going to be important to you 100 years from now. What's going to make a difference to you 100 years from now is that you made a huge difference in the life of your children. That is what will matter to you more than anything else. And I want you to know something, moms. You do matter. You make a huge difference. Because, moms, God has uniquely positioned you to be the most influential person in the life of your children. And you will mark them. And you will set them on the trajectory for the rest of their life by what you do. Moms, those long conversations in the car that you have with your kids between all those activities you are taking them to, they make a difference. When you pack your child's lunch and you put a little note in there for them to see at school, That makes a difference. When you help your children with their math homework, even though you don't have a clue yourself, you are making a difference. And moms, when you bring your kids to church week after week after week, you are making an eternal difference in their lives. You make a difference with the countless things that you do for your children every single day. You are making an investment in their lives that will reap huge dividends for generations to come. You know why? Because when God wants to do something great in the world, He doesn't send an earthquake. He doesn't stir up a volcano. He doesn't send a tornado. What God does when He wants to do something great in the world is He sends a child. But before He sends a child, He finds a woman to be a mom to that child. And so when God needed a Moses, He found a Hebrew slave girl living by the banks of the Nile River by the name of Jochebed to be his mother. And when God needed an Isaac, He found an old godly woman named Sarah to be his mother. And when God needed an Abraham Lincoln, He found a poor, illegitimate Virginia farm girl by the name of Nancy Hanks to be his mother. And when God needed a Martin Luther King Jr., He reached down and found the daughter of a poor black preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, by the name of Alberta Williams to be his mother. And when God needed a Mother Teresa, He found an impoverished young Albanian woman by the name of Dranafil Bajoksi to be her mother. And when God wanted to build a great church in Phoenix, Arizona, a church making a difference in thousands of lives, He found a young woman from Bolivar, Missouri, named Betty Kiefer, to be the mom of my wife, Thora. And He also found another young woman from Toppenish, Washington, named Beva Anderson, to be my mom. And when God needed a savior for the world, He found a young Jewish girl named Mary living on the backside of the Roman Empire to be the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And you know what? When God needed you, He reached down and He found exactly the right woman to be your mom. Moms, I want to remind you, God chooses women just like you. Normal, ordinary women to do something very extraordinary in and through. I mean, moms, of all the women in the world, God chose you to be the mother of the children that you have. You are the one mom that your children need. And so I want to remind you, moms, you make a difference. And you need to focus on that ultimate reward. Moms, you don't have to just survive. You can thrive. And moms, we thank God for you. And I want to pray for you as we close this message. And so I want to ask everybody to stand, not just moms, everybody to stand. And I want to offer a prayer for all the moms. But the way I want to do this is, if you came with someone today, who's a mom of yours, maybe a spiritual mom, an adoptive mom, emotional mom, maybe a biological mom, whatever. If there's someone, a grandmother here that's sitting next to you, the Bible talks about us laying hands on people when we pray for them. I want you to just lay your hands on them right now if they're sitting next to you. And would you agree with me in prayer for these moms? Lord, we thank You for these women. And I pray, God, that You would remind each one of them just a little bit more today how deeply loved they are by You, God. No matter what's going on in their life, remind them, God, that they are deeply loved by You. And Lord, I pray you'd also remind them that even though we don't say it well enough or often enough, remind them that they really are appreciated. They're appreciated by so many people. And God, I pray that you would free them up, each one of them emotionally, to just be the mom that you have created them to be, God. Help them not to try to be like some other mom. Help them not try to be a super mom. Help them just to relax and be the mom you've created them to be. And God, I also pray that you would help each one of them focus on the ultimate reward of motherhood. Remind them that they are making a huge difference in the lives of their children. For those that are older, God, I pray that you would remind them that they have made a huge difference and are continuing to make a huge difference in the lives of their kids. Oftentimes we don't even see it, but you are using everything they do to help form and change their kids' lives. Lord, I pray you would bless these moms in a very, very special way this weekend. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we go, you heard it on the video screen, but next weekend we're starting a very important series. I'm going to teach you about healing in the Bible. And we need to know, what does the Bible actually say about suffering, sickness, all of that? So please be back next weekend for this series, God and Healing. And if you would like to receive prayer, I know it's Mother's Day, but if you'd like to receive prayer before you leave, we'll have a ministry team up here. We would love to pray for you, whatever your prayer need happens to be. We have photo stations out there. If you're here with loved ones, please take some photos, post them to social media. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next weekend.